UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
The mission of the UAB Medicine Comprehensive Ovarian Cancer Program is to improve the lives of women affected by or at risk for ovarian cancer. My guest today is Dr. Warner Ha. He's the Division Director in the Division of Gynecologic Oncology in the Department of OB-GYN at UAB Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Ha. Tell us a little bit about the UAB Comprehensive Ovarian Cancer Program and how did this come about?
Well, first off, thank you for having me. So the genesis of the program was based around our realization and understanding that ovarian cancer patients really require multiple resources well beyond just surgery and chemotherapy, but what they really need is really sort of a comprehensive package of care that focuses on multiple aspects that are relevant to their treatment and also on their quality of life. And I'll give you an example. Some of that might be access to expert genetic counseling and testing. About 15% of women with ovarian cancer have a hereditary or high-risk component, and so it's important for them to understand whether or not they have a specific gene that may be related to their ovarian cancer. That's important because of novel drug therapy that's currently available for these women, but not only that, it might affect their future risk of breast cancer and also might affect the future risk of their family. That's one component. Other components include things like nutritional counseling, expert supportive care counseling, access to alternative therapies, access to clinical trials. But what we essentially have learned is that there needs to be sort of this programmatic approach to caring for these women well past just basically providing surgery and chemotherapy.
And why is that, Dr. Hahn? What makes ovarian cancer that much different than, they've called it the silent cancer, and it certainly is a tough one to detect. So why is this so different than, say, breast cancer or cervical or any of these other women cancers that would necessitate a program devoted entirely to it?
Well, it's not that so much that it's different. Matter of fact, what I would argue is in many ways the program that we built, I'm hoping will serve as a future template for other cancers that might benefit from a similar comprehensive program with multiple facets that focus around basically the patient and the family. I mean, the reason why I think that ovarian cancer is important is that it's just from the simple observation that we wind up tapping into multiple resources that are ultimately really important for the management of women for ovarian cancer. It's a very difficult disease to treat. And what we know is that patients require a lot of support. And what we're trying to do is to try to create an expert program that really revolves around the patient. And so I think most people who treat ovarian cancer will argue that it requires a certain level of expertise. And what we're trying to do is bring all that expertise under one roof.
So let's speak about ovarian cancer for a minute, Dr. Ha. What do you want other physicians to know about being able to identify it, to speak to their patients about the risk factors, the hereditary, factors involved, the genetics? How do you want, since it is so hard to detect, what should other physicians be on the lookout for if someone has, they're an obstetrician, gynecologist, what should they be helping their patients to understand?
Well, to your point earlier, ovarian cancer has been oftenly labeled or in some ways maybe mislabeled as the silent killer. Unfortunately, unlike other malignancies like breast cancer, colon cancer, cervical cancer, there's no screening test for ovarian cancer. And so what we recommend to women as well as we counsel to their providers is that they need to be aware of symptoms. So patients that have chronic bloating, nausea and vomiting, abdominal pain, difficulty urinating, difficulty using the bathroom, these may all be ultimately signs of ovarian cancer, and what we're more interested in is sort of the chronicity of these symptoms. I think everyone on this, you know, who's listening to this program realized a lot of the things I just mentioned, nausea and vomiting, could be caused by a multitude of different things, thus it's nonspecific. But it's really paying attention to those symptoms and going to your doctor and saying, listen, I've had multiple weeks of nausea and vomiting and bloating, and I'm worried about this, and making sure that they're properly evaluated. So it's really about heightened symptom awareness.
So while there are no screening tools, are there some valuable prognostic tools to aid in diagnosis if you do suspect something?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that in a woman like that who might have those chronic symptoms, an OBGYN may elect to get an ultrasound of their pelvis to see if there's something going on with her ovaries or her uterus, or perhaps they may, maybe they have increased fluid within their abdomen. Another option would be to check something called the CA125, which is commonly used to kind of help guide clinicians in terms of ordering additional testing. Some providers might use order a CAT scan if they're really concerned or have a really heightened suspicion of ovarian cancer. So there are multiple tests that we use. But over and over again, what people recognize, and this has been published in the scientific literature, is that referral to a gynecologic oncologist, in other words, an oncologist who is specifically trained to take care of women that have ovarian cancer, both from the surgical perspective as well as the treatment perspective, that those women actually have much, much better outcomes overall.
So when we were speaking before about the program and you were talking about genetics, tell us what's going on in the world right now of gene expression and genomics for ovarian cancer. What are you seeing, Dr. Ha?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really hot area. It's an area that is of great interest to myself, to my division, the ovarian cancer program, as well as the patients. So there are two levels or two types of testing that is done. Right now, we offer pretty much all of our ovarian cancer patients largely basically genetic testing, or what we call gene panel testing. And what we're looking for are specific mutations, for instance, like the BRCA1 and 2 mutation that put women at considerable risk for developing ovarian cancer and breast cancer. But there are actually multiple other genes, 20 plus other genes that are actually epidemiologically linked to ovarian cancer, that might have great impact not only on the management of that individual woman, but obviously an impact on the management of their family, for instance, their daughters. And so what we're seeing now is what we call cascade testing, where if a woman with ovarian cancer has a genetic mutation, then we'll talk about with their family members, like, for instance, their daughters and their sons, whether or not they need to be tested as well so that we can risk reduce their future risk of getting cancer in the future. Now, there's another type of testing that's done where we do what's known as next-generation sequencing off of their actual tumor, where we try to figure out whether or not they might be candidates for drug therapy in the future that might actually have a positive impact on their outcome. And so one of those drugs that's really fascinating and there's been a lot of attention paid toward it is something called PARP inhibitors. So in the United States, there are three commercially available PARP inhibitors. They're used sort of in different settings for ovarian cancer. But what we know is that women who have, let's say, a germline mutation for BRCA1 or 2, that those women actually have a really very significant positive response to those drugs. So what we're doing now is that we're trying to understand these genetic mutations much earlier on in the course of their therapy so that we can look at this drug therapy, but not only that, understand what the risk is to the patient and their family as well.
Wow, that's fascinating, Dr. Ha. So in summary, tell other physicians what you'd like them to know about recognizing ovarian cancer and when you feel it's very important for them to refer, as you said, to a gynecologic oncologist.
Well, one is, like you just said, that the scientific evidence clearly indicates that referral of these patients to a gynecologic oncologist, or particularly to a center that does a relatively high volume of ovarian cancer surgery and treatment, that those women definitively have a better outcome. And two, to realize that management of ovarian cancer patients, as I said at the beginning of this interview, is more than just giving chemotherapy and operating. It's about utilizing multiple resources to really provide what I call patient-centric care that revolves around not just on cancer outcomes like survival, but also on quality of life, dealing with things with spirituality, dealing with things with how to reduce the risk of their family members getting cancer, but to do that in a truly expert, experienced way that generally just benefits the patient and their families. And I think that is the main driver for why we created this program.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ha, for being with us today. It's really great information and so important for women and for other providers to hear. And a community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. That's 1-800-822-6478. You're listening to UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.